Before we continue with the Michtav Melios Yesoidus in Bechira, I wanted to mention something that Rabbi Nachum Wolk brought to my attention again in the sugya of Yosef Mechayev B'Shoyim. So remember, the Gemara tells us, and we spoke last time about the Nakuda of being Mechuyev by Hillel to learn even in the most abject of matzavim, in the most difficult of poverties. And the question was, how can Hillel be mechayiv me if Hillel is Hillel and he has unbelievable koichas of all kinds, intellectual and koichas hanefesh and so on? So what is Ani HaKotan? What do I have to do with Hillel? So how could Hillel be mechayiv aniyim? They should have picked an average person and say, this is every man. And Memela, if he can do it, you can do it also. But if Hillel can do it, mechateisa that I could do it. So we had that discussion, and in that sugya of the Gemara, I mentioned that the Gemara mentions three examples, three exemplary figures. One of them is Hillel Lagabe poverty, the other one is Rabbi Elazar ben Chasim Lagabe riches, and the third one is Yosef HaTzadik Lagabe Averis, Lagabe Yetzahara. And when I mentioned the Gemara, I was talking about the general chiyuv to be good. Somebody is seized by his Yetzer Hara. So look at Yosef. Yosef was capable to be misgaber on his Yetzer. But he pointed out to me, number one, that the Gemara is talking about Dafka, a Machayev in learning Torah. And number two, in the Lashon of the Gemara itself, Rasha Oimrim Loi, Mipnei Ma Loi Asakta Batayra. So it's very remarkable, Bechlal, that you have a person that's identified as a Rasha. It means not that he wasn't learning. He's a Rasha. So the question is, you're going to ask a Rasha, why didn't you learn Torah? Ask a Rasha, why were you a Gazlan? Why were you a Reitzayach? Why didn't you keep Bechlal the Mitzvahs? Why didn't you keep Shabbos? You're going to ask him, why didn't you learn Torah? So, first of all, if a person learns Torah, there's always the possibility Amar Shabba Machzir Lamuta. Besides which, they tell a Maisa about the Vilna Gaon that he was once visited by a person who was not a Shomer Mitzvahs. It probably was very rare, but it's so it happened. And the Rebbetzin, apparently, or his daughter, whoever, someone brought in some kibbutz. So he was about to take it, and he didn't wash his hands, or he didn't make a bracha, whatever it was. So the Gaon stopped him in his tracks. He says, what are you doing? So he says, what? He says, you have to wash, or you have to make a bracha. He says, what are you talking about? I don't keep Shabbos. He said that they'll pat you for Shabbos, and they'll pat you for not washing your hands. The mashma from the Gemara, that's what Rabbi Wolk was pointing out to me, that this argument against the Rosha is not in general about his whole mahalach hachai. It's an argument specific to limud ha-Torah. So why is the Rosha prevented from limud ha-Torah? Sok the Gemara, Oma, he tainis, no eho yisi, the Torud b'yitzri. I was very handsome, and memela, I was very busy with my gashmius, with the yetzahara for arayas. So hemamoyed dekazach. I was Torud b'yitzri. Habach nishgat ken tzait, and nishgat ken kop tzum lelman. Torud b'yitzri. Oimrim loy, klum noya yisa miyosef, amru alav al yosef atzadeh b'chol yoyim v'yoyim hoysa eishes peitifa mishadlase b'dvarim. She had a big wardrobe and she kept changing her style, her fashion, her clothes to attract him. She put on begodim specifically for Yosef. What does it mean specifically for Yosef? He asked her to change her begodim. It means she had cheshbonos, tachbulos, to get Yosef ensnared. And so therefore she decided, she made her decisions about her wardrobe based on chapping Yosef. The begodim shalav shalai avish, loy lav shalai shachris. Amr loy hisham ali. She enticed him and she said it befavish. Amr lo lav. Amr loy hareini choyvosh cho beveis asurim. Amr lo Hashem matir asurim. Hareini koyfefes koymoscha. Hashem zaykev kefufim. Hareini misamin eseyenecha. I'm going to blind you. Hashem pekeach ivrim. Nos no loy elef kikrei kesef lishmoy ele lishka vetzla liyosima. Loy rotzel lishmoy ele lishka vetzla boylamazeh. liyos ima la olam haba nimtza. It's interesting. In Hillel, the Maisa that they tell about how he was able to deny the ravages of poverty and the pressures and all of the upkimanishin is associated with Limud HaTorah. It tells a story about his learning. Rabbi Loza ben Chasaim, who was the opposite, his nisayon was that he would be overwhelmed and preoccupied by his riches. What is the raya that he wasn't? In Limud HaTorah. But when it comes to Yosef HaTzadik, not one word is mentioned here about learning. And that's what prompted me to suggest that even though the kasha is mipnei malo yasata b'Torah, nevertheless, the taina against the rosha is not that you see that Yosef was learning Torah, but rather that Yosef was able to be miskaber on his yaitzef. So I was thinking there's a tremendous difference between the example of Hillel, the example of Rabbi Elazar ben Chasim, and the Maisa with Yosef. When the Gemara says, Mipnei malo yasakta b'Torah, ein hachanami. The kasha that's being asked the Rosh at this moment is, why didn't you learn Torah? But in the Mechayev, when he says, Torud hayisi b'yitzri, because I was noeh, he doesn't mean I was too busy to learn, or I was too preoccupied to learn. He means that the Yetzer Hara winds you up, you are not shaykh to the parsha of learning. It means, in other words, when somebody is shakua b'chait, he can't learn, not because he doesn't have time to learn, or because he's too frenzied, The person who's poor, he's starving and his children are starving. And person who's very wealthy, he's busy in the opposite way, but he's also very Torah. It can keep you busy day and night. You have an empire to take care of. But the Rosh's problem is not that he's busy. The Rosh's problem is not that kind of tirda. There's a tirda that pushes you away from Torah. What the Rosh is saying is a meridika daher. The Rosh is saying that when I'm learning, I can't be a Rosh. And when I'm a Rosh, I can't learn. A person who's shakua b'chait has no time in learning, has no interest in learning, and is afraid of learning. And the Yetzer Hara tells him, "Vostavs tohab mazechen denarishkeiten, go out and have a good time." I told you the Maitse that I was going to yeshiva once with the shopping bag lady on the Lower East Side. For those who, I just chazered over for a second for those of you who weren't here. There was a lady that was mamish catatonic. She never said a word. She used to stick out her hand and she would beg by gesture. And she sat usually on a bench or on the floor and she would stick out her hand and people would give her whatever. And so it was for years, Rabbi Isai, years. I used to pass by her, she would stick out her hand, I'd put in 50 cents, a dollar, whatever. One day, I'm going to yeshiva, Koilel, and I'm going to get a ride on the East Broadway in the Young Israel building there, near Esses Torah, and I'm passing her by, she's sitting near the Dry Dock Savings Bank, that's what it was at the time over there. She's sitting on a flower bed, you know, on the edge of the, there's like a concrete block, and inside is flowers, and she's sitting on there, and I'm expecting, of course, that she should stick out her hand. And I'm holding my sfarim, and I'm on my way, like I did day after day. I didn't have my own car. I used to get a ride with one of the rabbonim, who was also going to the yeshiva. I pass by, and there's a bus that's going to Atlantic City, and all the zakenim are getting onto the bus. They give them a roll of quarters or whatever, I don't know what they give them there. And they go and they have themselves an afternoon. So the bus was waiting for the Altitschkes to line up and to go, and there's a big sign on the front of the bus, Atlantic City, and the bus is there. I'm walking by and she says, all of a sudden, Vayiftach Hashem es piha, and for the first time I heard a word come out of her mouth for years. She says, why are you going to yeshiva? Why don't you get on the bus and have a good time for a change? So Paladik is the most astonishing thing. You know, the person thinks, the person observes, the person notices, the person's a person. It was a Meiridika lesson, by the way. Meiridika lesson. Mekena Molmeinen, you know, the Alter Falzavete Shmata lady. So that means there's a heart, that means there are feelings. It was a Meiridika Musa Shmuz. But the Bekitza, what she said was, so the Russia is Torah B'Yitzri, he's doesn't that, I don't have time for learning. Vos is Lenin. Lenin by him is a Tayeva. It's everything is turned upside down. So the taina to him, taka, is proven, first you have to control your yaitzer. You can't prove that Yosef was learning. You have to prove that Yosef had a nisayon nifla that he could control. Memel, of course, he's going to learn. Because his problem is not that he's busy. His problem isn't that he's preoccupied. The lashon of Torah b'yitzri doesn't mean that I'm too busy with my Yetzirah. It means the Yetzirah has me by the throat. That's what it means. Anyhow, but b'kitzah, but it's correct. The Gemara Taka asks only about Limud HaTorah. Let's go now back to the... So you're asking a lot of good questions. To go into the parsha of Yosef with Eishes Potiphera is not my agenda for today. But one thing you see clearly from the Gemara, this I have to tell you. Every person understands that Yosef was on the threshold. In the Medrashim, it says that he was lechatchila roi to have 12 shvatim. He ended up only with 2. 10 was because of the Maisa Shahai. In that Nisayam, we want Yosef to come out like Ilu, he has no feelings or no interest or no anything. Das inish Yosef. And that wouldn't be the Yosef Mechayev. Because we're not telling this Rasha, do tshuva. We're telling him that you can never say, I am not in control of my Yetzirah because it's too much for me. And Yosef had a lot of siyua, and not everybody's maskim that how to be mefarish that he saw the mustyukne shalaviv. Not every person has the mustyukne shalaviv. Some people's aviv is worse than they are. So what is he going to conjure up the image of his father? He'll do the aveira even with more of a gishmak. You know what I'm saying? In that instance, however, the nisayon itself was so unbelievable that whatever Yosef was able to muster and all the unique properties of Yosef do not resolve the Yetzer Hara that was Yosef's unless you understand that he chose to do Ratzon HaBayir. Yosef is a Mechayev because the Nisayon by him is so enormous that all of the positives that he had going for him are not enough to explain it away. And Memela Yosef remains, after all is said and done in the positive, to be a Mechayev of the worst Russia, who is motivated by his Yetzirah, by his Taiva. It's a Meiridika Daher of what the Nisayon of Yosef was, which we don't fully appreciate. The Gemara is obviously being Masbirit by showing to what lengths. You see, most of the time, when somebody has a Yetzahara, his Yetzahara leads him astray, and he looks for trouble. In Yosef's instance, the Yetzahara inside of him is responding to an unbelievable amount of initiative on the part of Eishes Potiphar. And that's what the Gemara is describing over and over again. Bogodim shalav shashachris olav shaharvis is not enough. Nochamo bogodim shalav shaharvis olav shashachris. What's the Gemara doing here? The Taurus is the Gemara saying that the enticement, mibachutz, was noira v'ayim. A person has that kind of enticement, it's kemat not shaykh to be oimid bin Yisayim. But Yosef himself has certain netiyas. Combine the two, you'd say that it's humanly not possible. So what Russia says, Torah b'yitzri, Rebbeinu Shlom, you made me that way. Why was I supposed to be handsome? Why does everybody chase after me? Why do I have these interests? Why aren't I more pure? Yosef HaTzadik. But the bottom line is that the Gemara is taki isking about Limud HaTorah. It's a pelet dikazach. Person's a Russia, and he wants to know, Mipnei ma lo yasakta b'Torah. Unbelievable. In the Mahalach of Rav Dessler, the Chayinu Levracha, L'chai Yoyim Abba, we left off with a point that he makes that's very fascinating. Based on the idea that he established, that whenever there's a melchama, that is the point of Bechira. But the battle that was won yesterday is no longer the point of Bechira. But he develops the thesis deeper, and he says the following. Sai b'noigeya what you already accomplished, and sai b'noigeya what was ingrained into you through your chinuch from childhood, that moment is no longer a challenge, because it's a given in terms of who you are. And each person has his givens. In other words, my given at this moment is not necessarily my given a month ago. Maybe a month ago it was a nisayon, but once I overcame that nisayon, once I fought that yetzer hara, and I established it as a chelik of my personality, very often something that you have a challenge last week, you have the challenge again the next week, and the next week after that. So the battle is not really won, just a skirmish. But if the point of Bechira changed, then the schar that a person gets for the things that are coming to him naturally is nowhere as great as the schar of that moment where he's still fighting the battle. It's like a gather of Lefum Tzara Agra also. He doesn't have Tzar any. So for example, if a person, a very pushed thing, a person doesn't enjoy learning. Doesn't enjoy learning. Comes to a Gemara. It's a dense Gemara. It's a complicated Gemara. Doesn't understand the Rashi, never mind the Tosis, Bechlal, doesn't know what they want. And he's sitting in Shir, and the Rebbe is talking and talking and giving examples and explaining. And it's way above his head. And he has no time for it. So he tells his Bachar, go into the Beis Medrash and sit in Chazar over the Shir. Or go and prepare better the Sugya. It's a tremendous Nisayon. He doesn't want. And Nach Ta'alamin, it happens to be May, and it happens to be that the birds are chirping outside, and the sun is shining. And says Lebedek and Freilach, and he has to Nebuch sit there like a prisoner. But what happens? Somehow he manages, and he sits, and someone sits down next to him, an older Bacher, and he starts explaining to him the Sugya, and all of a sudden he understands the Sugya. And you know something? This is really interesting. And if 6 months later, you can't get him out of the Beis Medrash. And he cannot leave that sugya or something like it in the next daf or in the next perek, which 6 months before he was plotting. Just let me out of here. For those subsequent sugyas, a body's going to get schar for limud haTorah and everything. But there's no longer an issue of bechira. Faket, go try to get him out of the Beis Medrash. He has no time in anything else. He just wants to sit and learn. So Avada Gevis, that's Gevaldik, and that's the Madregas that we aspire to. But in that moment when there's no longer a front of battle, you know, there's no longer the battle front, then the Bechira issue doesn't exist, so the Schar is different already. B'chapash Tezach. So he goes one step further and he says, 99% of the time when a person is good, he's good because that's who he is. It's not that every 5 minutes he has to make a decision to be good. And every 5 minutes he sees the tzad, maybe he doesn't have to be good, or he enjoys more not being good. So for example, somebody davens in the morning, somebody puts on tefillin in the morning, somebody keeps Shabbos. So why does he do all of these things? Because that's at the gezen in the heim, and that's what he is, and he doesn't even have a half a minute to be otherwise. Says none of those things are totally in Bechira at all. Bechira is only at the point, at the edge of the cliff. It's where he isn't yet. That's where you have to have Bechira. So that's what he says. Amayra de Gezach. He says, Zuchu Yosef, this is the bottom of page 115. In the printout, they have the page numbers also. It's the bottom of page 150. Mizboyalonim mikolzeh shezuchu yosef shal odom einon ha-mitzvahis v'masim toivim sheneschanech bohem. The things that he got naturally from his chinuch from childhood. Ela b'chiroisav ha-toivis levat. It's only when he makes a positive choice. That's where his chus comes from. Kol ha-sheneschanech bohem eino ela ha-chonas mokim nekudas ha-bechira. Shehiloi naseis al-yodai. Again, he says that wherever the edge of the cliff is, that's going to be determined by the chinuch. A person who doesn't have a good chinuch, his edge of the cliff is much earlier. He has a problem keeping Shabbos properly. He has a problem learning altogether. He has a problem saying birchas hashachar. But if a person got a chinuch, so he doesn't have those nisyonis because he doesn't have that problem. So where does his problem begin? On a much higher level. You're in the Beis Medrash, it's getting late, and you're getting tired. But still, you still have another half an hour to stay there before your next responsibility and obligation. But I'm tired, I'm going to go home early tonight. It's already a nisaya. And when he decides to remain in the Beis Medrash, and he's oimid in that nisaya, as small or as great as it is, then he's exercising bechira. But when a person keeps Shabbos, he's not exercising bechira. Because imagine a person say, you know, so many people out there that don't keep Shabbos. And look at me, I keep Shabbos. Wow, that's tremendous bechira. What bechira? Go try to keep him from keeping Shabbos. There's no bechira there anymore. The better the chinuch, the more successful the hadracha was, The better the Rebbe, the better the yeshiva, the better the environment. In all of those instances, the moment that the field of battle, the battlefront, shifts to a much more sophisticated and more extreme level, everything before it is no longer a battle. And Memela, the Melchemes HaYetzer is only, and that very, very spitz. Whereas earlier, or with a different kind of person, the Melchama was in much more fundamental and basic things. Zokta Vaita, same household, same chinuch. Yeah,
they're millions of miles apart.
100%. Because the definition of chinuch, the definition of chinuch that he's using is the success of the chinuch. He's not talking about the maisa chinuch. You have a lot of people that, whatever the reason is, they can't absorb the lesson, or they fight against the lesson, or they are inspired by their environment. Let me stop for a second. Every Muntik and Dunashtik, either a member of the Kehillah or somebody from the outside, asks me where he should send his children to yeshiva. That's a fact. Every Muntik and Dunashtik. It's a very big madrega that the Olam arrive to these kind of questions. But I get this question all the time. And you know what I answer? If you're asking me what's the best yeshiva, I think that all yeshivas are good. Zebuchai v'zebuchai, and it depends on exactly what your child needs and where your child is headed. But I'll tell you one thing. If you're going to have to pick a yeshiva, the first and foremost criterion is not the hanhala, and it's not the rebbeim, and it's not the place. It's the children in the yeshiva. It's his chaverim. And the same applies to the neighborhood that you move to, and the same applies to the block that you live on, and the camp that you send your child to, it's the chaverim. And what was true 20 years ago is 1,000 times more true today. Children make all the decisions today. Don't ask me if that's right or wrong. I bet it's wrong. The tail never wags the dog. The parents have somehow abdicated almost completely. Parents are so afraid to tell their child no. They're so afraid of the child's either going off the derech because they're too strict, or the child won't like them as much, or whatever. But in any case, that whole hasoga as the tata haste, it's kemat down the drain. What is substituted for it? Friends. My friends do this, my friends do that. A kid wants a bar mitzvah like his friends had a bar mitzvah. So tata ken zogna kin erzachai. I'm not like them. And I don't want to be like them. And I don't want you to be like them either. We're answering to higher levels of Avodas Hashem. We're not interested in Gashmias the way they are. And we're not looking for that. We're looking that your tefillin should be 100%, and the machshava in your head while you're wearing the tefillin should be 100%. You have to look for a bacher that never talks when he wears tefillin. And you want to tell me, I want to be like him, then I'll be happy. But you want to tell me I want a band like he had, and in the place that he had, and with all of the catering that he had, where do you come to catering? You're a little, I'm sure you should forgive me. What is it? No, the friends. And the friends determine what camp you go to. You can go to a camp for 10 years, and it's the best place in the world for you. My friends decided this year they're going somewhere else. To the new place, to the old place, to a different place. Oh, all of a sudden, migate. This is why, when he speaks about chinuch, he's not talking about chinuch in the effort of chinuch. He's talking about the chinuch that was successful and produced the product. So fashteitzach, if the chinuch is not successful, then he's not mechunuch. And if he's not mechunuch, it doesn't matter what the effort of the chinuch was. It matters, according to him, what the success of the chinuch was. So you could talk, I have two homes. One home where the chinuch is successful, one home the chinuch is not successful, even though both being raised in the same way. You can have in the same family two children. One has a proclivity to Yirat Shamayim, and the other kid has a proclivity to run around in the streets. One has a proclivity to be good in yeshiva, and the other one has a proclivity to make trouble. Although sometimes the troublemakers, you should know, they turn out to be the best. It's a pellet de gazach. That's another yesod. Sometimes parents see a child and they eat their hearts out. That's another thing I have. Muntik and Dunashtik. Parent comes to me, my child is 4 years old, he's tearing the house apart. Doesn't want to daven. He's 4 years old and he doesn't want to daven. You understand? It's a very serious problem. I tell him, you know, if he's 4 years old and he wants to daven, you have a very serious problem. You know, the chinuch, I mean, you know, the effort of chinuch to be kitzer is not what he's talking about. He's talking about when a chinuch is successful, the level or the point of bechira shifts beyond. Because bechira is always when you have to make a choice, not when the choice is already made for you, when you've already assimilated and integrated it all. Then he adds something very remarkable. He says he says something very remarkable, and he brings an example from the Alter of Slabodka about Lot and Avraham Avinu, which is an amazing thing. And I wanted to dwell upon it for a moment. Lot, when he come to Sodom, and how Lot got to Sodom was not by following the precepts of Avraham Avinu. And Avraham tells him in Masmol Veimino Vemayomim Vasmeila, he parred no me'aloi. Nevertheless, that same Lot, when he was in Sodom, is willing to sacrifice everything to protect the visitors who came to his home. So great was his midah of hachnasas orchim that it was the midas hachesed beyond belief, beyond measure. He's willing to give himself, his children, he's willing to give up his life. If it wouldn't have been huku besanverim, then they would have killed him. And afal pikein, he refuses to let them out of the house and to give them over to the street. Vosad pshatendem. Zokter, on page 116, he says, this was the level of his madregas hachesed. So he quotes a chazal, and he says that the same person who is willing to risk his life beyond any normal measure, when it comes time to ask what zchus does he have, and the Eibishter needs to find a zchus for him to save him, he finds a zchus that he was not revealing that Sarah was the wife of Avraham. You know very well that Sarah was who? What's the relationship of Sarah to Lot? He's Nachor and Avraham, the Pasuk says, married two sisters. Milcah was the wife of Nachor. Right. And Sarah, who's called also Yiska, was the wife of Avraham. But who is their father? Who is the father of these girls? Because they married their nieces. So who was the father of these girls? Haran. Who else did Haran have? So Haran has two daughters, but he also had a son, Lot. So what is Lot's relationship to Yiska? He's a brother. So Yiska is Sarah. So it was his own sister. So he does not megale that his sister is married to Avraham, and that is his incredible zuchus. So first of all, what is the great gedula that he was not megala? What do you expect, that he's some sort of a reinseach? That he's going to be megala? And who's he? Why am I making all this point? He's making charev of his brother-in-law and his sister. He's making them charev. I mean, you think that if they kill Avraham, what's going to happen to Sarah? He's going to go home. It's doch mamish a churban for Sarah too, and it's his sister, Rebbeinu da'al makula, and it's his rebbe, and it's his. What's the pshat? What's the pshat, Tak? So that's what he asks. He says, "Niska shoyo loit yedeh she Sarah ishto shel Avraham, v'shama shama Avraham b'mitzrayim al Sarah achoisihi v'loy gilu hadover." Says Rashi, and that's the zechus was at the baygestanin when it was about to be destroyed. Stach pile ployim mamish. He asks. He says, "V'hu mavhil she adam gedoyel hachesed b'mesiras nefesh." He says, you want to find a zechus? It's not enough of a zechus that he was standing there by the door and refusing to let these strangers out to the mob and risked his life and the life of his entire family to achieve this madrega of chesed and achmas esorkim, dos heistnishken zechus. And not to be megala that his sister and his brother should have a normal life, that is a tremendous achuz. What's the pshat in that? Zoktel. Lo yechoshev ze klum, ele yechoshev lo yishaloi hoya mosul limsa es doidoi gisoi v'rabbi. He said, doidoi gisoi v'rabbi. I'm hearing one more thing. And you're talking about a churban to his sister as well. Lo reitzchim. Mikan lo madnu. Shekol ma shemagia lo odom al yedei chinuch afilu ad kedei mesiras nefesh. Einam madregas ha'odom ha'amitis. Umahi madrei gosoi, mashem is gaber al yitzvei, bedover shaloi lamad. Mamish apelle. I just, you hear what he's saying? He's asking a meiridik kasha. The kasha is the chnifla. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks to find the chesed, ignores, right, the chesed that we would have chosen, the chesed that's beyond imagination, that he's willing to risk his life to protect these strangers. And ignoring that, he chooses a chesed that we don't even fully understand what the problem was, that you have to be a shtikl reitzeach not to do it. What do you gain from being megala? And Afal Pikein, HaKadosh Baruch Hu finds that that is the schus. How come? He says, you see from here that even if your chinuch was so successful that you're inspired to do the extraordinary, but if that inspiration is for you not in the soyon, and you're not fighting your yetzer, and you're not misgaber on a yetzer, then it doesn't compare to the zechus that he gets when he is misgaber on his yetzer. In this shtickle, what we have in front of us, it does not explain what was the incredible nisayon. He just says that when the chinuch in the house of Avram, midas hachesed, and the house of Avram, achnasas arkim, to a fault, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming to visit him, kechoy mayoyim, he makes it so hot that not anybody should be mafriya, and Avram is going out of his mind, he doesn't have arkim. And all four doors are open wide just in case they come from the other direction. And Lushi Vasiugos Vela Bokorot Avram with his pain and with his suffering, you know, the Mila and everything. No. And he runs and he does. See, that kind of chinuch was absorbed in the absolute way by light. And he becomes nischanich legamri. The chinuch was successful. That's the point. Not that there was a chinuch. The chinuch was successful. And therefore, it became a part of him. And he responded naturally. There's no problem. There's no pressure. There's no mochama within. And therefore, the zechus of that, as wonderful as the Mida is, and as much as we aspire to achieve it, was for him not as great as the zechus of not being megala. But I want to be masbir. What is the problem of not being megala? Faket. If it is his brother-in-law and his Rebbe, like he says. So what's the habamir to be megala? I'll tell you the pshat. Loit had one problem. That he was not nischanich. And there the chinuch taka was not successful. With all the effort of Avraham Avinu. And that's the straw that broke the camel's back. That Be'emes is a machloikus in the Medrashim. It says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Avram acharei pared loit me'imai. So there's one opinion in the Medrash that says that the Ribbono Shel Olam came to him with tainus, the whole world you say, and the whole world you care about. And because of a ma'isa you send away light. And where does he end up altogether? He ends up in Sdaim. What did you accomplish? It's a taina that the Ribbono Shel Olam had to Avram Avinu. In the same Medrash, there's a tzadche keneged, two days that Avram is HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Baruch Hashem, you finally got rid of him. What took you so long? So Mamish min hakotze lakotze kemat. What's the pshat? What's the problem, Taka, that Loit needs to be sent away and he's fighting and HaKadosh Baruch Hu kivayochel fesdoim mamish. Anshei Sdoim Royim V'chatoyim L'Hashem Miyoid HaKetzah Akosa Bo'elai. The girl that was bitten by the bees, by the wasps, because she was smeared with honey. What was her terrible Aveira? She fed a person that was an Araman. She took care of a stranger. Tzduch Noira V'Oyim. The Rishus. And nevertheless, Avram says, Ula Yesh Tzadikim. Hasashchis Esoir. And Loit, he cannot stomach. What was Loit's terrible Aveira? And he didn't see to it that the shepherd should muzzle the animals and thereby guarantee that they would not eat from strange fields. This doesn't seem to be such a terrible crime. Viful kemen shenesen. Ram Avinu, you're not happy with it? Give him Musa. And tell him, warn him, tell him. But he parit na me'olai. Now the Teretz, I always said this vart. And I believe in it, I think it's Amita Shel Torah. Avraham Avinu went around convincing people that there's an Eibishter in the Welt. And basically he was smashing idols after idols and convincing people that there's only one Ribbono Shel Olam. And he's the master of everything. Comes along somebody and says, you know, I agree with you. So Avraham Avinu says, just a minute, don't leave yet. I didn't finish my sentence. Yeah? I believe that there's only one God. What is there to finish? So no, then it says it makes a nafkamina in how you lead your life. What? He says, yeah, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects of you honesty, integrity, goodness, chesed, and so on and so forth. He wants you to live the great, noble, moral, wonderful, good life according to the precepts that he set forth. And even if it's difficult for you, you have to follow them. So he says, Avraham Avinu, you mean to say, like, you know, when somebody turns around for a minute and he leaves one of his possessions unattended, I can't take it? So Avraham says, take it? You take something that belongs to somebody else? It's doch not shayach, it's gezel. So he says, Rabbi Avraham, do me a favor. Don't be so naive. All the people will tell you they believe in God. But when push comes to shove, you are what you are. And people have a tremendous appetite for money. They're very greedy and they're very hungry and nothing is ever enough. And when nobody's looking, he says, nobody's looking, the Eibishter is always looking. Avraham Avinu is at least like the Chafetz Chaim, you know. The Eibishter is always looking. Okay. Darshan away. Oh, but we know the Amos. A person doesn't change his colors because there's an Eibishter somewhere in the abstract and the veil. It's ridiculous. Push comes to shove and you are what you are. And Avraham is saying, no, it's not true. And then one day, that same guy comes back and he knocks on Avraham Avinu's door. And he says, can I come in? I'd like to talk to you for a minute. Avraham says, yeah, sure, come in. He says, you know, you have a nephew, a Talmud Muvak. He came to you from day one. I've never seen him more than 10 feet away from you. Wherever you are, he is. Whatever you're teaching, he listens. You know what just happened? He says, I was passing by that field over there, and his animals are eating like crazy. So I go over to the shepherd, and the shepherd tells me a whole story. He says, well, you know, my master's lot, he says, you know, it's all going to be mine anyhow eventually, so it's no big deal. It's all going to be mine. Avraham doesn't have any children, this and that, whatever. It's going to be mine. So he says to Avraham Avinu, you see, I told you. Exhibit number one, the Talmud Muvak, and even he can't do it. You expect something from anybody else. When Avraham Avinu saw that the whole Yesod of the Binyan was being challenged by the actions of his Talmud Muvak, he said, you can't be my Talmud anymore. You can't be seen in my Dalet Amos anymore. Because it's undermining the entire critical Yesod that the Eibishter makes a difference. Not that there isn't an Eibishter. So Lot goes away. But Lot's nisayon was this taivas hamam. Lot's nisayon was to blind himself by claiming half-truths to gain an advantage that was monetary in nature. He had a taivas hamam. He wanted to be wealthy. And memela, he ignored the lessons of Avraham Avinu. Chesed was not a problem. He wants to be wealthy and he wants to be generous in his wealth. And the lesson of the hadrach of chesed, he absorbed totally. But for Avraham Avinu, you could absorb every lesson in the world. But as long as you don't show that you believe the Eibishter is watching and the Eibishter cares and that you are willing to give up for the Eibishter, he parid no me'olah. And memela, when it came to the matter of Avraham Avinu and the person who's going to be Megala this Soid, that she's really his wife, stands to gain the whole empire because they're going to take Avraham away. He's blinded to such an extent that he can forget he's his Rebbe, he can forget that he's his uncle, he can forget that he was with him through thick and thin, he can forget all the good that he did for him, he can forget that she is his sister, he can forget everything. And therefore, that he did not forget, and was a meiridike oimed b'nisayim, because that was his nekuda satayrif. And Memela says the Alter that schus bedafka was the schus that Hakadosh Baruch Hu found. Says Rav Dessler, you see, melernt from them agvaldike yisay, that where you're doing great and unbelievable things, but it's you. And it's a chalik of you, and there's no problem, and you do it in your sleep, because there's nothing challenging you against it, which was the midas ha-chesed that he gained from Avraham Avinu, then you do not have the schar of being oimid bin Yisrael. And the schar of being oimid bin Yisrael is so great that it saves your life. Zokta vaita, amayu dukazach. That's not a kasha. No, that's not a kasha. Listen, I'll explain it to you. The Eibishter is judging. He knows where you're holding. So he can decide, is this the moment of challenge, or is this the moment which is already long past the challenge? When a person decides what matzavim he's going to put himself into, then he has no right to say, since I know that I can handle it without any difficulty, I can allow myself to be in circumstances which, for the average person, let us say, would be very, very problematic. La Marshall, I am very nizer in mumminus. I can join a group that is a bunch of tzaddikim in mumminus, or I can join a group where it's known that they finagle plenty. They play with the rules. They white collar. The white collar crime for them means nothing. But I know who I am, and I know what I must do, and there's a very good opportunity over there, and I'll do it right. Thus is al yamin ba'atz. He always does it right, because the teretz is, when you're in a matzav of chinuch, that's the opposite, and slowly but surely begins to erode your convictions. So in Achanami, yesterday there was no battle, but tomorrow there could be a battle. And if there is a battle tomorrow, mechateis you'll win. So that's al yamin odem ba'atz. And the Chohen of the Chohen, a person sits in the Beis Medrash all day, learns, he's convinced that when he goes out into the world, except for the time that he has to work, he's going to learn with the same brand, with the same asmada, with the same cheshek, and nech tekitok. But he's convinced now, you couldn't convince him otherwise. He loves to learn. They have talmidim in the yeshiva, not my yeshiva, any yeshiva. B'shas ma'isa, p'skeit afaya. But 10 years later, they can't open up a gemara. They just have no interest in it. And what's substituted is by them politics, and by them a television, and by them a dvarim betalim, and by them exhaustion, and by them the desire that they have another job and another job, so they could have a fancier car and a nicer house. What happened to Torah Matahayola? Nothing. Where was the brand? Where did it dissipate? Where did it disappear to? Who put out the fire? The teretz is the new matzav. Al yamin od ma'atzmei, avad gevis. Kulei hai v'ulai. Abba Lamaisa, the Rebbeinu Shlalom, who knows where you are right now, clearly, he will give you schar based on the nisayon. But it's not just the schar. This is what he says, Vaita. The Meir de Gezach. He says, there's no question that when a person does a mitzvah, because he's almost mukhrich to do it, because he got this terrific chinuch which was successful, ain't HaKadosh Baruch Hu mekapeach schar on that. You know, no one's going to suggest that because you're doing it right, because you're a tzaddik to begin with, that you're not going to get schar. That's ridiculous. But he says, from deswegen, mikol makom kinyan madregos, that's the second paragraph on 116, dahainu b'chiras hatoiv kimat she'ein lohem. He says that, very interesting, the nisayon sometimes simply doesn't present itself to people who follow the straight and narrow and are in very confined environments and basically are in matzavim where everything geht wie geschmiert. So they hardly ever have a mechemes hayetzer. Ashrei odom sher yishtamish b'chinuche hatoiv b'toiras hachona. Avol yosim kol ma'botoi la'alois ma'ilo ma'lo hein b'maisa hein b'kavonas ha'leif. V'kashayar b'kocha toru mitzvahs kol eile tiyeno asuyos b'bechira mitoich milchemes hayetzer. He's saying as follows. Sometimes, and this is very important you say it. Sometimes a person, you said, l'olam al yamin odem ba'atzmai, a person's nisyonos are because they place themselves in harm's way. In other words, I had a wonderful situation, and all of my mashpiyim, all of the forces that are influencing me, were ach v'rak l'tayiv. And I say to myself, you know, you don't even get that much schar for that. I'm going to krich harayin in a matzav where it's not so pashut to be good. And I'm going to surround myself with people that maybe challenge my emunah. And I'm going to give myself a situation where it's not so easy to learn. And then I'm going to be oimid b'nisayim. That, of course, is absurd. Not just al yamin odem ba'atzmai. Why in the world should a person look for trouble? But he says, that's not what I'm talking about, he says. I'm talking about a different scene. I am able to learn Rashi. Tosfos is hard for me. But Rashi, very, so it seems. Rashi, many times, is much harder than Tosfos. But, so, you know, the pshat that Rashi is giving you seems to be very simple. So I learn Rashi, I learn Gemara at Rashi, I learn one blot and another blot, and I'm doing very nice. One day I decide, you know what? There's a Ramban, there's a Rajba, there's a Tosfos, there's a Rambam and a Ravid. Why do I confine myself just to Rashi? So the Yetzirah says, what are you kidding? First of all, you're going to get bogged down. You love to cover ground. You like to tell people that you're finishing a Masechta. Tomorrow I have a Siyum in the Shivs Teferes Yerushalayim. So somebody calls me, he'd like me to come to the Siyum. I said, come to the Siyum. I said to myself, can't be a Siyum on Masechta. He's not going to ask me to come in the middle of the day to Siyum on Masechta. So I say, you finished Shas? So he says, no, he finished Dalet Chelkei Shulchan Aruch. Shas he finished already several times. So a person comes with an idea, wants to finish Dalet Chelkei Shulchan Aruch. You're going to learn Aruch Chaim with the Mishnah Berurah, maybe. You're going to learn Magen Avraham with the Taz, with the Prima Godim. You're not going to get past 20 Simonim. That's not a mahalach. You want to cover ground. Or somebody says, you think you're in the big leagues? You think you can handle that stuff? That's not for you. That's not your madrega. So the person says, I'm not going to listen to that, Yetzirah. I'm going to struggle. I don't want that everything I learn is when I read it, I know it. I want to be able to say that I challenged myself today. I want to be able to say that 5 minutes ago I didn't understand it, but because I knocked my head against the wall and I asked all my rebbeim and I asked the people sitting next door to me, that in the next table in the Beis Medrash, and I got the pshat, and now all of a sudden I see it in a completely different light. I never understood the sugya b'chlal. Now I realize that the Rashi wasn't the Rashi and the Gemara wasn't the Gemara. So that's the kind of challenge that he's talking about. And the same thing with Shmirah Shabbos, a Zahirus in Shabbos, an extra feeling of Kedushas HaShabbos. The same thing if a person goes to the mikveh, each person according to his madrega and what he needs. If he goes to the mikveh Erev Yontav, decides now he's going to go Erev Shabbos. A person goes every Erev Shabbos, decides he's going to go every day. A person to give tzedakah, and it's for him a shtickle nisayon to give beyond point X. Up to point X, nothing in the world. No problem at all. This one wants $5, wants $20. To part with $100 is not so much. He has it, but it's hard to part. $1,000, man dechar shmeh. That's your nisayon. And so on and so forth. So what he says is that every person, wherever he is incumbent upon him to create a new battlefront. But which kind? Not the first kind. The first kind is a disaster. The first kind is usur. A person is over and vasus yog latayra when he does that. When he exposes himself unnecessarily to challenge it. Some people feel, I'll be steeled more. You know, the Yetzirah convinces him, if Adreza Makov and says, you know, you're going to be in this environment. What if Chas V'Shalom, you ever get an environment where you have an Isayan? You won't even know how to deal with it. But if you're Sabislachites, it's like, what do they give these injections? What are they called?
Immunity.
What is the injection called? A vaccine. I'm getting a vaccine. I'm going to have a little bit of an Isayan here. So I'm going to walk out on Avenue J because, and I'm not going to keep my eyes down or take off my glasses. I'm going to look and I'm going to say, you see, I'm looking and it doesn't stem. And I'm going weiter. And I'm looking again and it doesn't stem me. Until finally, 6 months later, I can see anything and I don't see anything at all. Someone once said that when Rabbi Avigdor Miller used to go jogging in the morning, so there were other people jogging too, not sneistic dressed. He asked, how does he go in such a situation where he's exposing himself? I heard Rabbi Shmuel Miller, Zolzayin Gesundheitstag, his son say that he's made on him that he didn't see them. Imamish didn't see them. I'm sure he didn't see them because he closed his eye. Tosha didn't see them. A person say, you know, I'm gonna train myself to be like that. So how do you train yourself to be like that? There's two mahalchim. One of them is to sit and learn Yom HaLaila, to dive into the Rebbeinu Shalom Yom HaLaila, to go into a room and make a cheshbon hanefesh for a half an hour a day where you scream and yell at yourself and you tear yourself apart and you expose yourself to the bitter truth of who you are and so on and so forth. And to rack up zechuyos, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects you, Torah Megino Matzila. And the other approach is to walk on Avenue J as much as you can. It's also an approach. So if a person has such a machshava, imtale machshava zu alibecha, forget it. But there are challenges that a person not only is shayach to, but that's where it's at in terms of his, not just his chah. Of course that's where the schar is. Because the schar is from Tzaira Agra. The schar is only when there's a challenge. But the challenge means I'm not satisfied with my madrega. I want to be on a higher madrega. I'm not satisfied with my learning. I want to learn more and better. I'm not satisfied with my tzedakah. I want to give more and better. I'm not satisfied with my shalom bayis. I'm harving on my shalom bayis. That kind of avodah is the obligation, he says, of every single yid. No matter how successful his preparation was to reach that point, that things come to him so easily. There's one more session we need for this. I thought I'd be able to finish today, but the shopping bag lady takes time.